Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Resources that are valuable, just by talking about things.
resources that are valuable for the wellness of our community. We know that there has been a great outpouring, what we talked about on Sunday, also about date rape and abusive relationships. But on tonight, I just want to shift gears a little bit this evening and talk about self-segregation. Self-segregation is something that is interesting to me to see why the masses of, you know, we can stay here in the United States, but if you look all over the world, the masses of people, I don't care what social, economic, or racial background you come from, the majority of people choose to self-segregate. In other words, people tend to clump or group or gather or separate themselves from other people who are different from them. And, you know, it's one of those things where people choose a lot of times to hang out with the folks that look like them, or make, you know, a certain amount of money as them, or, you know, have a certain language as them. And, you know, that's their comfort zone. But even in that demographic of people, that people don't like the group that they're hanging out with, that they're segregating themselves to. So I guess it's kind of complex in a way, that people want to segregate to their own, but then they can't stand their own. So it's almost like, you know, people just want to live, you know, away from, by themselves, if they could, so they wouldn't have to deal with anybody, even somebody like themselves. And one of the biggest, and said, the biggest days that are segregated in the United States is on Sunday morning. And that is when, you know, peoples of all social, economic, racial backgrounds in the United States attend houses of worship. And when they attend houses of worship or synagogues, they separate themselves from each other. There are some churches whose congregations are mixed, but a vast majority of them have congregants who look just like each other. And it's something where you say, where is that coming from? Where is that beneficial to our community? If we're looking for wellness for our community, at what point should we have diversity in our places of worship, diversity in our workplaces, diversity in the places that we live? And I grew up in a time where this was in 1970, middle 70s, where my parents were in, my father was in the military. We got back from Europe, got back from Germany, and when we got back from Germany, went to a elementary school that was in the neighborhood that we lived in when my parents bought a house. And they bought the house in 1968, and we came back to the States, moved back to the house, we rented the house out, came back to the States. And we rented the house out, but when we came back, we moved back into the house, there was a thing called desegregation that was on, desegregation, because people that were in our county, I'm pretty sure this county, Maryland, were segregating themselves, where you had the majority of black folk lived here, the majority of white folk lived in an area more in southern Maryland, towards southern Maryland. And there was this thing called desegregation in an effort to try to mix blacks with whites in a learning environment. And it was very difficult for me to have to get up an hour earlier and ride a school bus, approximately 40, sometimes 45 minutes to a school where I was used to help create a racial mix, if you will, of students. When I had a school, a junior high school that was, you know, a 10 minute walk away, and you know, it was something of a difficult situation, because a lot of the times, even though you were sent somewhere for desegregation, many of the times when you were in the school, you had to defend yourself. You had to get to a point where you were always looking out for yourself. And so the black kids in the school hung together because of the racial tension and the potential for fights. And then some of the teachers, not say all of them, would prefer the white kids over the black kids. And so then you would have this segregation that was self-segregated because people were trying to desegregate. And so it was this balance that was out of balance. There was this thing that was out of balance. And then, you know, finally, I believe in the late 90s, those things began to stop, and, you know, that busing began to stop. But it was crazy for a minute there. And, you know, it's just a thing where I'm just wondering, and I'm just thinking out loud, why do people tend to want to be by themselves when we live in a world with so many different people? Why do people tend to want to flock to their own color or their own race or their own people when we live in a world that's so diverse? But then those people that flock to their own, then they don't even want to be with themselves. So I'm just talking out loud. It's like, you know, self-segregation is something, is this something that's helpful to our community? Is this something helpful to our wellness of our community, that we would self-segregate to the point where unless we are at work, we don't desire or don't want to be with other races. If we're not at work, if we're not at work, or if we're not in a place where we have to be, like school, you know, why is it that we don't want to be with each other? And then when you get to a higher education, as far as college, then you have you know, people that want to be not only just for you know, education, but they want to be around their own racial group of people. And so there could be a school that had the greatest medical program, but if it wasn't enough whites or there wasn't enough blacks, then some people would choose not to go to that school based upon race. If there's too many black people that are there, or there's too many white folks there, they might have the best educators there, but I would feel uncomfortable if I was a white person going to that because there's too many black people, or I feel uncomfortable if there's too many, if I was a black person, if there's too many white people. And so it's a thing of what is up with us as a community with self-segregation. And many times when I work sometimes in large construction sites, where they're renovating whole buildings, redevelopment of buildings. One of the buildings I worked at was in operations, was oversight of the World Bank building in Washington, D.C., on Connecticut Avenue, one of the buildings. And, you know, you had all the trades in the renovation building. They peeled the skin off the building and cut stairwell in it and, you know, just, you know, completely modern the facilities, a gold platinum LEED building, energy efficient, awesome building. But when the trades were working there, you know, from top to bottom, every group, whether it was the electricians, whether it was the carpenters, whether it was the sprinkler fitters, whether it was the steam fitters, whether it was the architect, whether it was the mechanical engineer, every group self-segregated themselves. You know, when they gathered, and they were self-segregating, and then within those groups, there was even more self-segregating. So the Hispanics would segregate, the blacks would segregate, the Caucasians would segregate, and it was amazing to see, you know, they came together to work. They know they had to work together, and because of the mighty dollar, that green dollar, you know, people can get over having to work with a black man or a white man or an Asian or a Latino man when he knows that we're at this workplace. You know, I can tolerate him because I'm getting paid, you know, such amount of dollars, or I'm getting paid a salary, you know, from the super chief, the superintendent who's running the job. You know, I can work with these people because I'm getting paid. But after my 8 hours of work, or how many hours, you know, if I'm working 4 tens or whatever, you know, or if I'm, you know, supervising, you know, the construction manager during the day or at night, at the end of the day, you know, I'm going, you know, my way out of town. You know, the Caucasians are going their way out of town. The Asians are going their way out of town. The Latinos are going their way out of town. And everybody's going a different way to places where they live among their own race of people. But even in their own race of people, there's a self-segregation for their race of people. So in other words, the people that are at, you know, at a low income, they'll live in a certain place. With people at a medium income or a higher income, they'll live in a certain place. So there's self-segregation even among those races that are segregated. And so I used to watch this phenomenon to see these come up. These are going to come up from, are going to come from the northwest part of the city. These are going to come from the southeast part of the city. And these are going to come from the northeast part of the city. And these were going to come from the southwest part of the city. And so they would all converge into, you know, Washington, D.C., and into this building, into this job site. And you would just see them, and it was like, you know, they had their own way of laughing, their own way of talking, their own way of hanging out. You know, they would eat certain things and go to certain places. And so there was a diverse group of people that came together and worked and made this awesome building, this awesome edifice. They all brought all their skills and all their talents and everything that everyone brought to bear. And they all worked together, and, you know, for the majority of the time, they got along fine. I mean, they tolerated each other fine to construct a building, but the main motivating factor why they got along is because if they didn't get along, they'd get kicked off the job and they wouldn't get that paid that money. So the motivating factor was they were getting paid to desegregate long enough to construct this building. And, you know, I'm just, you know, throwing a question out there. Is that the only thing that will cause people of racial or social and economic backgrounds to put aside their difference is money? I see it now even, you know, in operations where we see different folks in the operations industry. We all converge to operate properties in Northern Virginia. And, you know, you got some coming from Southern Maryland. You got some coming from Northern Virginia. You got some coming from Northern Maryland, and then some coming from the district. and they all come to this place, and they bring all these talents, and they operate these properties, but at the end of the day, they're going different ways. It's funny that they're going different ways to live with the people that look like them, that act like them, and you know the only reason that they're getting together in Northern Virginia in these operations is because of money, and the money that they're making, they can get along long enough to be able to deal with people of their that accept it or different racial or social economic makeup, and then they go home, and then they have segregation among those groups. And you know what I'm starting to learn now is that you know more and more I'm looking at it is these people really can get along. It's not a thing where, you know, now it's like, oh, they're scared of a Caucasian, they're scared of a black person. You know, there's still some of that they're out there. That hasn't all gone away. But even with that, where you can like somebody or have a working, you know, friendship with that person, even to the point where you wouldn't even mind living, you know, if you had to, you wouldn't mind living with that person just from, you know, the person that you know. And you know that person by you working with that person every day. You know a lot of things about them, and you get along. And a lot of times what I tell people is those are the people that you spend most of your day with. You spend most of your day with someone other than your race or your social, your economic background. You learn about that person, and you spend a lot of time at work. You spend a lot of time interacting with that person. You see that person on a regular basis. You know what's going on in their lives, and in so many ways, you know, you are, you know, desegregated when you're in that environment. But what is it that once your 8 hours are up or whatever hours you work are up that you want to go back to being just with folks? It looked like you. What is it about self-segregation? What is it about it that, you know, I'll put up with a certain group of people for a certain period of time, but after that certain period of time, I want to go back with more folks. and you know, not to say that there's something wrong with that. There's not. I mean, you spend 8 hours with people. That means you have the ability to tolerate and behave civilly and interact with people that are different from you, that you know, come from all walks of life and all kind of differences, and you put up with them for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day. You know, there's times where you might agree or disagree with them, but the mighty dollar will cause you to put up with some of the stuff that, you know, you wouldn't ordinarily put up with, but you know that this is how you make your living, this is your livelihood, and so you don't have a problem with being desegregated. But as soon as that time is up, you're going to self-segregate. They're going to go out that way, they're going to go out that way, you're going to go out that way, and you're going to stay with folks that look like you, make about the same money as you, and segregate yourself. So what is up with self-segregation? What is it? What is it in our human race that causes us want to self-segregate and only really put forth a concerted effort to desegregate if we have to gather and it's for money? And so that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about self-segregation. We're going to come back and just read a little bit about some of the things that segregation has been a little bit after the break. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about this thing called self-segregation. So we're going to take about a two-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you. Have you ever loved someone? love somebody, somebody like you. Somebody like you.
Holding through the break. As always, if you want to be a part of the conversation tonight, we invite you to call in, and the number is 347-324-5569 and 347-324-5569, and we'll be glad to hear what you have to say in regards to the conversation that we're talking about tonight. And we're talking about self-segregation, looking at the phenomena of peoples of all social, economic, racial backgrounds, and how the majority of time that they come together during the work environment, or when there's an environment where money can be made, that people are willing to be civil and put up with each other, no matter whatever your social, economic background is. If they can make a dollar, make some type of income, that they'll be willing to put up with that, a person with 8 hours or 12 hours, and to do it on a regular basis. But after those 8, 10, 12 hours are done, where they're not going to be getting paid, that they will go home and they will self-segregate to places where they live with people that look like them, and a lot of times act like them, have the same amount of money as them, and you get to the thing where you're wondering, and you're saying, wow, is that the only way that peoples can get together, that can deal with each other, can tolerate each other, as if they're getting paid? And you know, you often wonder that is you know, we as a society, will we ever get to the point where we don't mind living with someone that is different from us? That was one of the things during the this country, United States country, dealing with racial issues and racial segregation, where blacks and whites weren't allowed or to mingle together. There was a racial segregation by law, and that would be called racial segregation de jure, which is developed by or forced by law. And then what we have pretty much now is racial segregation de facto. In other words, that is racial segregation is just the fact that people choose to separate themselves for whatever reason. They self-impose sanctions. There's no law, and they separate themselves. It's a thing where, you know, it's not a law, but it happens. As far as where, you know, you have redlining, and where you know, they call it this side of the tracks, or you know, mortgage discrimination, where you can only come this far. Saw a lot of that in the late 60s and 70s, in the 80s, where, you know, wasn't enforced, but these things were set up along racial lines, where, you know, white folks and black folks lived in certain areas and didn't cross that line. And that was the racial segregation de facto. But now a lot of that redlining and mortgage discrimination is becoming less and less. You see, still see people choosing to self-segregate where they want to be with their own. And again, getting back to the most segregated hour on Sunday morning, where people of all color, social, economic backgrounds go to different places of worship among themselves. And a lot of times, you know, those people don't even get along. It's like, you look like me, we worship together, we like to worship together, but we don't get along. So it's like, oh my gosh, how in the world are we going to get along with people that don't look like us and don't worship like us? And it's a human thing. It's a human thing. It's a human condition. What is it? How are we conditioned to self segregate? To not want to be around people that aren't like us, don't sound like us, don't sing like us, don't play the same music that we play. You know, African American, many times their worship, we say our worship has rhythm, it has beat, and you know, we like to joke that Caucasians don't have the rhythm or the beat or the singing that we have in our churches. And you know, the African American churches say that we're just too wild and crazy, and we don't have enough teaching and reverence in our churches. And you know, it's funny. It's like every group, whether you're Caucasian, you're African American, whether you're Latino or Asian, you say that you're worshiping God. You say that you are, you know, in tune with your God. But a lot of times people will say that, you know, I don't know why they do it that way, or I don't know why they do it that way, as if to insinuate that because you're different and you worship God different, that your way is wrong or my way is wrong or your way is right or my way is right. And you know, so we self-segregate even when it comes to our worship. And it's like, man, this is really crazy how, you know, we're supposed to get along and love each other and be there with each other, but yet and still we can't live or operate in the same area as each other, not unless money is going down. Or there's a job. Well, there's a job that we have to do together. And so what is it? I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to ask the question of why people choose to self-segregate. We say segregation when it comes to rights. Civil rights is not correct. Separate but unequal was the tone for a while during the Civil Rights Movement. And we understood that segregation was wrong. For whatever reason, you know, because of your social, economic, religious background, that, you know, by law, you were not allowed, or by de facto, you weren't allowed to have the same benefits of your counterparts, whether it's white, black, Caucasian, Asian. You were separate, but you weren't given the same material. You weren't given the top quality education or the top quality materials in school. You were separate but unequal. And you know, that was the type of segregation people rejected over a period of time and said it was not right. And so now you have, for the most part in this country, the ability for people to get equal representation and to be able to have a fair shake. It's not, the playing field is by no means completely level, but it's a whole lot leveler than what it was. But even with that, you have groups still don't want to be around each other outside of work, outside of the place where I'm getting money. And so what we do is we self-segregate. One of the things that I found funny this past football season, professional football season, was to see the groups of people that would get together around football, and that you know that brought people together. But a lot of times people don't get around. They don't have that in common when it comes to worship. You know, I go to the football game with you and cut up, drink beer with you, and tailgate and act up and scream for our favorite team and scream for the white guy on the field if I'm a black guy and scream for the black guy on the field if I'm a white guy and have a good old time and talk till we're blue in the face about statistics and how well somebody threw the ball or ran the ball or the defense. And, you know, we revere black players and white players, you know, as football gods, and we would always want them to play together, even though that there was a time where black players and white players was frowned upon for them to play together, and it took a while for the color barrier to be broken down, where blacks were able to be integrated into playing sports. Same thing with the military. But you know those things are well worn and well tested, and now the races play together. But the crowds will come from miles and miles around to watch, you know, an integrated team play football. But the crowds will get together and hoot and holler and shout and drink and have a grand old time at the football game. But after the football game, and they talk about how good number whatever it was, they'll get in their cars or whatever, and they'll inch by inch get out of the parking lot and get on the highway, and one will go north and one will go south. And even though they went to the same game, they'll go to different places. They'll self-segregate. And... you know, it's like, is that healthy for our community? Is that preventing wellness for our community? We can hoot and holler and tailgate, you know, with different races, but at the end of the day, I can hoop and holler with them, but I don't want to live with them or live next to them. Wow, that's a big question. I can go to work with them, work 8 hours with them, but at the end of that 8 hours, I give a paycheck. I really don't want to live with them. It's like, okay, what's up with that? They're good enough to talk football, talk trash with, go to the game, hang out, tailgate, drink beer with them, even drink out the same bottle, smoke off the same cigar with them. You know, all of these things, throw ball with them, hoop and holler and everything. Go to work with them and build a whole building. You know, dynamic millions of dollars, several million dollars, hundreds of million dollars. No buildings, and get along with these guys fine. But you know that's at work. When that whistle blows, or it's time for me to punch out or punch that clock or go home, I'm going south and they're going north. And you know I can work with them, but I'd rather not live with them. I want to self-segregate for whatever reason it is. And I don't know the answer. You know, if you know the answer, you can call me at 347-324-5569 is 347-324-5569. We're talking about self-segregation tonight, talking about this phenomena, trying to determine is this something healthy for the wellness of our community, that we come together in one place for a period of time for entertainment, for money, for work, and get along fine. But after the entertainment's over, after the work's over, after the money collecting is over, that we choose to go and live with people who are just like us, and even in those groups, it's segregated. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about self-segregation, but we're going to take another quick break. Again, if you want to hold through the break and then come back and be a part of this conversation, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. We'll take a quick break and come right back.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you. Have you ever loved somebody? Have you ever loved somebody? somebody, somebody like you, yeah. Somebody like you, yeah. Oh, have you ever loved somebody the way you love somebody? Have you ever loved somebody the way you love somebody? Have you ever loved somebody the way you love somebody, somebody like you? Yeah, yeah. Somebody like you. Yeah. Have you ever loved? Have you ever loved? Have you ever loved? Have you ever loved? Have you ever? Hey, have you ever loved? Have you ever loved? Somebody like you, yeah.
And we're back again. We thank you for holding through the break. This is yours truly again, Pastor C, studio in Landover Hills, Forestville, Maryland. We're in Landover Hills last night with our TNS Bible study, There's Nothing New Under the Sun. But tonight we're talking about self-segregation. Where this phenomenon is in our community, particularly in the United States, where people choose to separate themselves from the races, from the masses, from people who make a certain amount of money, who sound like me, talk like me, look like me, or look like you, sound like you, talk like you. And what that does for our community, what does that do for our community? Does that create diversity in our community where you can go and you say, this is the Asian community, this is Chinatown, or you can go and you can say, this is the Hispanic community, in Adams Morgan, like in the district, or this is Georgetown in the district, and, this is Southwest as far as the waterfront. This is the east of the river, as in the southeast. And you have these communities of people that live all around the city. They're in the city, but they live all around the city. And you have different cultures. You have different diversity where they live, but they live in these groups. And, you have that same type of diversity in New York, where you have different immigrants, the Jews or the Italians or, the Latinos, that live in the different boroughs that that's what they're prominently, are, a racial diversity, and they choose to live together, but they're living together in the city. So my conclusion is that as long as we can come together and work together civilly without any racial injustice as far as opportunity, as far as potential for health and wealth and gain, that, at the end of the day, if you want to go and you want to spend time with people of your culture, of your religion, I believe that's something that cultures develop in each other, and that there's nothing wrong with that, to celebrate your heritage and your culture and the way you were brought out, the way you talk, the things you do, and to begin to create tolerance and respect for the different differences. And I think that's important, and I think one of the things we have to get away from is, though, we have these different cultures, but even in those cultures, that there's racism in those cultures, where if you're in the Asian community, you're not, making as such money, or you're not have such an education, or you're in a black community and you don't have such and such money, or you don't live in such and such house. Now you have become, you know, cultures within cultures and statuses within segregation statues and statuses, and you have racial divides within, you know, races, and you have segregation within races. And that's the area where we need to improve. I guess we need to respect each other's religious background, social background, cultures, but within those, we need to respect each other, even if I'm not at the top of the you know, social economic status, that I will still need to be respected and appreciated as part and a productive part of that community, a productive part of that culture, and it brings diversity to our communities. But it's just funny to see, you know, sometimes where people really say we should get along, we should, you know, work together, but that's the only time we're going to do it is at work. But, you know, it seems fine to me. It seems fine to me. But the thing is that we just have to respect each other, be tolerant of each other, understand that just because, you know, I do it this way doesn't, and you do it that way, doesn't mean that my way is always right or your way is always right. But, you know, this is how our background did it. This is how our ancestors did it. You know, this is how, you know, we go back to the place of worship. This is how they worship. This is how we worship. And because I might have a little bit louder, I might have a little bit quieter, I might have, you know, a little more reverence as far as, you know, the way I walk or where I talk compared to the way, you know, I shout or the way I run, doesn't make my way wrong or your way right. And, you know, we're still worshiping, we're still praising God. But it's in a way according to my culture, and it's according to, you know, the way I was brought up. And so, you know, self-segregation, as long as the playing fields are level, has its place. And again, you can go to any city and you can see, you know, where people will congregate, where people will gather. You know, they will have different type of foods at this location, different type of, you know, clothing at this location. And, you know, a lot of times people will go shopping and they'll want to experience some Chinese food, so they go to Chinatown, or they want to experience some type of South American food, and so they'll go up to Adams Morgan, or they'll want to experience some different type of Irish food, so they'll go down to the K Street, you know, Northwest around Union Station, you know, the Irish pub down there, or they'll want to experience some soul food, so they'll go out in Southeast, or, you know, nearby Prince George's County, Maryland, and it's a thing of, you know, you have that choice to go and eat where you want to eat, and to enjoy the different cultures, different backgrounds, the different ethnicities of things that go on. You know, people like to traveling around the world to experience, you know, what people do on different continents and, you know, in different cities around the globe to just experience that. But at the end of the day, they want to segregate themselves, self-segregate back to where you're comfortable with, where you call home, where you're comfortable among your people that are like you. And it's crazy, though, because then some of those folks, you don't even like your own folks. But, you know, that's who you're back with. That's your fam. That's your family. And that's who you're back with. So, you know, at the end of the day, self-segregation is one of the things that, you know, is happened to be a phenomenon that happens all over the world. It happens in the United States. But we have to make sure that when we do self-segregate, that we're not doing it because of hatred or dislike for another culture or another ethnicity, because, you know, just because we do it this way doesn't make us right. And so we have to be careful to be tolerant to be civil with each other. Just like if you're going to get paid and working on a job, we have to learn how to be tolerant. We have to be civil with people that are different from us, that sound different from us, act different from us, dress different from us. We have to learn to be civil with those people because, you know, that's what makes up the world. That makes up the, you know, complexity of the world is people. So forced segregation is not good. Self-segregation is something that, you know, cultures do. That's what people do. But we shouldn't do it, you know, at the expense of our living civilly or peacefully with each other. Get together, go, you know, to a restaurant you want to go to the stores or shops that you want to go to, travel to the countries that you want to travel, but be yourself, but, you know, appreciate and respect the differences in different cultures, right? After you finish experiencing the food, the cultures, the different you know, places that you've gone to visit, you know, come back where you're comfortable. If you're comfortable hanging around your folks that look like you, that's where you'll be, and you'll self-segregate. But I guarantee you, there's some folks that look like you and act like you that you don't, that you won't even that you only want to be around, that you want to get along with. And so, is that experience of living in a multi diverse community where you have people of different cultures, is that better for us? We'll probably explore that a little bit on Sunday. Is that better for us? Is it better for us to live in places that have multiple diversity compared to, you know, self-segregation, living with people who look and sound like you, will make the same amount of money with you? Is it possible for the masses with their different ethnicities and backgrounds and cultures and histories, is it possible for them to live together? Is it possible? I would say it's possible, but is it more beneficial? And we'll probe that a little bit more on Sunday. But as far as what we're concluding tonight, I believe that self-segregation is something that people naturally do, that they naturally want to be among themselves. There's a certain comfort level with being among your folks that you hang out with. You might play country music or pop or rock or R&B, blues music. You want to hang out with those folks that play the hip-hop, you know, different types of genre of music, and you feel comfortable hanging out with them. And, you know, that's the nightclub that you're going to hang out. You know, you're not going to hang out with the country music nightclub if you like the hip-hop, you know, if you like the rap or if you like the rock. Those are the type of things where you would self-segregate because you like that genre of music. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, that's what makes us, you know, a world where, you know, we experience so many different things. So I believe that self-segregation is good as long as we're respecting each other's culture. You know, just because I like country music and you like hip-hop, you know, and you know, hip-hop doesn't do it for me, or country music doesn't do it for me. Don't look down on the country music lover, or don't look down on the hip hop lover, because, you know, they're not playing country or they're not playing hip hop. And that's what I think that we as people need to get away with, you know, get away from, and you know, our self segregation to what we like to eat or what we like to listen to. It's fine. It should be fine. But don't bring the hatred and the lack of tolerance, because it's not your thing. It's not your thing. You know, you don't have to play it. You don't have to listen to it. But as long as you know, I'm enjoying my music, or you're enjoying your music, or enjoying your burger with cheese, or your burger with my burger without cheese. You know, it's something that we should be able to tolerate with each other. and to be able to enjoy the different cultures and appreciate that people are different, and that there is a level of self-segregation that goes along with us being different and being able to appreciate, you know, the differences in all of us. And, I think that makes for a more interesting world. I believe it makes for more interesting people. I believe it makes for something that we can all, you know, just look at and observe and enjoy. I enjoy, you know, watching different, you know, cultures and music, and you know, I enjoy, you know, watching different people in worship, how they go about it, you know, their sincerity, their love for God, you know, even in their the way their motions and how they respond, and you know, it's to me, it's to, you know, that God is not limited to just the way I worship God, and I enjoyed it, you know, different you know, people, different countries, different languages. It's a beautiful thing to see that. But I think that as the world helps, I think this is how the world gets in trouble when we begin to be intolerant of our differences. When we begin to get intolerant, when we do self segregate, to not be tolerant of how we self segregate, how we separate ourselves, how we do certain things, and when people begin being intolerant of that, I think that's where we get in trouble as a country, as a nation, as a world, when we no longer have that tolerance of you know, why and how individuals do things. And we begin to look down upon their individuality or look down on what they do and how they do it, and get mad and get angry. And, you know, that's how wars and things start, when you know, there's these stark differences over religion or over how people do things or how people go about, you know, treating people. It gets complicated, but somewhere along the line, we're going to have to learn you know, this is a planet. We can only self-segregate but so far. You can only get away but so far from me, and I can only go so far from you. We're on the same planet, and you know, it's not getting any bigger. Population is growing, and I always laugh back in the 80s, where more of the urban people would segregate to the inner city, and the more Caucasian people would go to the suburbs. And then they would come into the district and work, and then they would go back out. Now the urban folks have switched around, where the black folks are going out into the suburbs, and the Caucasians are moving back into the city. And it's just funny, this gentrification, this switch, where, you know, you can't get away from, you know, people, and you know. At some point, you're going to have to, you know, say I can only self-segregate but so much, and, you know, I'm going to be next to this person in the Whole Foods or you know, in the PetSmart or in the Costco or the BJ's. You know, they're in my community, I'm in their community, and, you know, there's only so much self-segregation I can do, and you just have to learn to get along with each other. Self-segregate as much as you can, but eventually, you know, we're going to have to get along with each other and respect each other and enjoy each other's difference and each other's culture. And we can do this as a people, because I've seen it happen. I've seen the changes in the city over the last 30 years that I've been working in the city, Washington, D.C., of this self-segregation giving way to people coming together, desegregating, working to get along together, and just are resigned to the fact that, you know, I can't move far enough away, or I can't move close enough in to get away from people that are not like me. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. It's been a good subject, good topic. Again, we thank everyone for tuning in. That's going to do it for us tonight. So now that you have the resource, we need you to get connected. God bless. Good night. And prayerfully, we'll talk to you again on Sunday night. God bless.